You are listening to the News Project podcast for the week of May 11th, 2020, brought to you by GNAT TV. This podcast brings you these stories. Arlington throws a parade for its teachers, and food shortages in a COVID-19 world.
Down in Arlington, they decided it was time for a parade. It being Teacher Appreciation Week, that made it the perfect time to celebrate the community and the schools, along with the teachers and educators who make them go. School has been out, in a sense, since mid-March, although students and teachers, along with school administrators, have been trying to keep the learning going through some unprecedented conditions created by the COVID-19 pandemic. But everyone seems to miss the day-to-day interaction in the classroom. So to reinforce the connection between the school and the community, a parade was held Thursday, May 7th, starting from Arlington Memorial High School and Fisher Elementary School to celebrate teachers and educators. We had a chance to talk with Arlington Memorial High School Principal Sarah Merrill, Fisher Elementary Principal Dion Lacoste, and School Superintendent Bill Basic about the parade.
Pretty exciting.
This is very exciting. It's a great pick-me-up for our community, definitely. And it's a great way to celebrate our teachers. This week is Teacher Appreciation Week, so it's a great way to honor all of them, to have the kids out to see them.
So, yeah, whose idea was it to have this parade?
So, I think it was during a staff meeting, a Zoom staff meeting. We decided that the kids were feeling a little down and we need to do something for them. And I think we needed it as much as they need it. So we're pretty excited about today and it should be a ton of fun.
It is. It's Teacher Appreciation Week. Everybody's been a little cooped up, not only with the quarantine, but the weather has not been, well, I guess it's been a typical Vermont spring. So it's nice to get on this beautiful night. We're going to take a ride around Arlington. The idea is all the teachers are going to be in their cars, socially distant appropriately, and we're going to drive by the children's homes, wave, hopefully make their night, and start reconnecting as we try to rebuild and bring in our relationships back. So we're very excited too, and I just want to thank not only Arlington teachers but all the teachers out there. They're doing an incredible job in this pandemic all throughout Vermont, and we're very lucky to have such dedicated people.
The parade route wound its way through East Arlington and up to Sunderland, where the fire trucks, state police cars, ambulances, and other vehicles taking part in the parade turned around on Route 7A and headed back into Arlington, where it headed west on Route 313 to East Arlington before winding its way back to the Fisher Elementary School. There was a festive atmosphere in the air, along with a lot of noise, to counter the loss of the regular school routines for now and their hoped-for return next fall. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. Food shortages and insecurity, along with the concerns about the safety and reliability of the nation's often long and extended food chain, have been on the minds of many as the COVID-19 pandemic extended its ripple effects far and wide. Between rising levels of unemployment not seen since the Great Depression of the 1930s, and reports of virus outbreaks in meat processing plants, obtaining enough food to support a family, until relatively recently a virtual non-concern for many Americans, has suddenly become something of a question mark for many. Over the past couple of weeks, we've looked at how a couple of local food shelves are stepping forward to help bridge the gaps, but behind them are the sources for their food supplies. So we recently connected on Zoom with John Sales, the CEO of the Vermont Food Bank, which partners with more than 200 Vermont community food shelves and food cupboards, to hear about what things look like on their end.
Yeah, well, as you can imagine, I think the Labor Department is saying it's between 20 and 23% unemployment in Vermont, and food insecurity is financial insecurity. So seeing the increase in unemployment, and people are really, I think, concerned, even if their pantry is not empty now, that what does the future hold? There's so much uncertainty. So we've seen between, depending on the place, between a 30 and 100% increase in the number of people showing up at food shelves and meal sites and our Veggie Van Gogh distributions all over the state. That's not to mention the National Guard MRE distributions that are happening. We have been able to continue to bring food in, you know, not enough to meet all the need, and that's why we've enlisted the National Guard and the state, and that's been a huge, huge help. We can't get in the quantities that we really need fast enough. But food is coming in, and we are getting it out. So far, our supply chain is holding up. You know, our drivers are getting tired. they're driving much heavier loads, much more often, but they're also really resolute. So, you know, it's great to talk to them, and they're really proud to come to work every day and be supplying those, you know, 215 partners, the food shelves and meal sites all over the state, and also going to the schools and hospitals and doing our Veggie Van Gogh distributions.
What are your main concerns going forward? Is it just getting the food and continuing to be able to supply your partners and community food cupboards around the state, or is it something else?
I think it is that, but it's also how do we do things differently? Because this is undeniably a crisis, but with every crisis comes opportunity. And the opportunity here is to really see the weaknesses in the way we distribute food to people who can't afford it. And there are a lot of them. And so now that there's a lot of focus on this and there are some extra resources, how can we shift what we're doing? So my focus is always about, all right, who's out there that can use food assistance to help stabilize their lives or improve them? And how do we get that food to people where they want it, when they want it, and the food that they want? I think it's really important, and I really want people to hear a couple of things. One is that don't wait until you've used up all of your resources before you ask for help. I don't want people hitting bottom before they go out and say, wow, there's some food available. I can fill up my pantry. Second is there are other resources available. Our schools are all feeding children. Do not hesitate to take advantage of that. So it's not costing your local school system at all. The federal government is reimbursing the school for those meals for any child, whether they were eligible for the school meal program before or not. So use the schools, eat those meals. We're going to try and figure out how to continue that through the summer. And then I'll save the best for last. Sign up for Three Squares Vermont, the SNAP program or food stamps. You wouldn't say no to Social Security benefits. You wouldn't say no to your Medicare. SNAP is really the same thing. And this is the time it was designed for. So people should, it's too challenging to apply, but it's worth the time. So please, if you find yourselves without income, sign up for Three Squares Vermont. You get an EBT card and you can go to the grocery store and have some extra resources to shop. So that is the first line of defense against hunger.
As John Sales was saying, there's another source of food that many Vermonters might qualify for, the Three Squares Vermont program, our state's version of the federal SNAP or food stamp program. So we reached out to Phil Morin, the Food Security and Advocacy Manager for Hunger Free Vermont, where he provides integrated outreach and training on Three Squares Vermont, the federal nutrition program that works to eliminate food insecurity in our state.
And what SNAP, Three Squares Vermont, does is it connects folks who are eligible to an EBT card. And so they would receive a monthly food benefit to that EBT card, which would allow them to shop for food. And in doing so, expands their food purchasing budget. Month over. Eligibility is based on household composition and income. So Three Squares Vermont is really available to a wide range of people, older Vermonters, people who are working, people who are not working, college students. There are a lot of, it's quite an open program as long as you are meeting the income eligibility requirements. And right now there are you know, with the large number of folks who aren't working, there are more people who would qualify and be eligible for Three Squares Vermont if they were to apply, considering that they haven't been earning income over the past few weeks. Three Squares Vermont in our state is administered by the Department for Children and Families, and the work that we do at Hunger Free Vermont in regards to Three Squares Vermont is really to work with service providers, our state partners, community action agencies, area agencies on aging, our federal partners, to really understand the barriers that people are facing right now to accessing the program, and then as a collective really working towards making Three Squares Vermont available to those people who are eligible. Right now, there are more people applying than normal. There are a lot of folks who are, for the first time in their lives, accessing these programs, not just federal nutrition programs, but going to food shelves or going to pick up MREs. So there are more people than ever accessing these programs, and so there are more people applying right now for Three Squares Vermont at DCF to be enrolled and to receive benefits from them. COVID-19 has led to a lot of flexibilities for our states. When the federal government declared a state of emergency, there were a lot of things that Vermont was able to do to make the program more available to folks who needed to access it and to make sure they were connected to benefits that they are eligible for while they're not able to work.
And Hunger Free Vermont, what is the relationship with that, with Vermont Three Squares? Is that one agency that works with it, or?
So yeah, we are one of many organizations, partner organizations across the state that works to do outreach in partnership with our state partners, with DCF, to make sure that folks know about this program and know that it's available to them, not only during a pandemic, but during any time, and to really help demonstrate to folks that they should be applying for this because there are enough benefits for everybody. It's a federal program that brings in additional money, not only for households that are enrolled, but when they're spent, it helps stimulate our economy. And so Hunger Free Vermont, as an advocacy and education nonprofit, what we do is we really focus on helping develop those connections and to really make sure people understand that they should be applying when they're eligible. And we work, again, with other partners. So we're working with community action agencies, we're working with the area agencies on aging, the Vermont Food Bank, and et cetera, to really help connect folks all across our state to this program.
Local farmers markets are, of course, another source of food for many Vermonters, and with restrictions on them beginning to loosen, we hope to take another look at their new and possibly enhanced role in the food supply as more people warm to the idea of locally grown produce that hasn't passed through as many hands as that which travels hundreds or thousands of miles to get here. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.